I invite you to turn this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel 12, and we're going to begin our reading at, 2 Samuel 6, and we're going to begin our reading at verse 1. We're going to read the first 12 verses, where we read again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baalath of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubim. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord, and all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nishan's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of that place Perez Uzzah unto this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him, into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom unto the city of David with gladness. And the remaining part of this 6th chapter deals with David's bringing the ark to Jerusalem and the blessing that it brought to him. This morning we want to deal in particular with verse 12. And it was told King David saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom unto the city of David with gladness. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the precious name of thy dear Son, we thank you for thy presence among thy people. We thank you for what this lesson teaches us this morning concerning the blessing of the Lord. We thank you for thanksgiving, the privilege of giving thanks to thee. We thank you for this nation that sets aside a day specially to give thanks to thee for all the blessings and for all the manifold mercies that you bestow upon us. We thank you for the godly inheritance that this nation possesses. We can say as a people, the lines are fallen unto us in pleasant places. Yea, we have a goodly heritage. But we see, our Father, other trends today, and we thank you for every mercy that you manifest toward us. We thank you that we can gather together this morning, open thy word, hear thy word, read thy word, rejoice in the singing of these hymns, for truly the Lord of glory is worthy to be crowned King of kings and Lord of lords by the angels, by the nation of Israel, and by every kindred and tongue and tribe and people, for he is Lord. And therefore we give you thanks. We rejoice in this privilege that is ours. Open our understanding. Give us something from thyself for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. What was the Ark of God that David was so interested in? The Ark of God was a piece of furniture that occupied the center place in the holiest of all, in the tabernacle, in the house that God asked the children of Israel through Moses to build. In Exodus chapter 25, about verse 9, God said to Moses, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they build a house that I can dwell in." And the first piece of furniture for the house of God was the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark spoke of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ in many details. In every detail that you examine concerning the Ark, it speaks of him. When you think of it in its construction, it was made of two things. It was made of wood and of gold. The wood speaks of his humanity. The gold speaks of his deity. He was God, but yet he was true man. He was born of a virgin, and as a man, he lived among men. As to its covering, the top of the ark was a piece of pure gold with cherubim beaten on each end, made of beaten work, and they spread their wings of glory above the ark. And that piece that covered the ark was called the mercy seat. And it was upon that mercy seat that the blood of the innocent substitute was sprinkled on behalf of God's people. It speaks of Christ. It is through him and his blood that sin has been put away, that we have peace with God, and we can enter into the holiest of God. The holiest of God, the holiest of all. And then, as to the contents of the ark. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 3 through 5 tell us that the ark contained three things. First of all, it contained the golden pot of manna, the bread which God gave Israel to eat. A golden pot filled with manna was placed in the ark before God as a remembrance of his mercy and of his grace. It speaks of Christ, who is indeed the provision of his people. He is the bread which came down from heaven. "I am," he said, "the bread of life. He that believeth in me shall never hunger, and neither shall he thirst." Furthermore, not only did it contain a golden pot of manna, it contained Aaron's rod that budded. And Aaron's rod that budded speaks of the power of Christ in resurrection. There were dead rods that were placed before the Lord. And God answered Israel and proved that Aaron was indeed the high priest. And by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, it is proven that Christ is indeed God manifest in the flesh. For he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, but he's declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. And in Hebrews chapter 5, chapter 7, we read that Christ is not becoming high priest of things made with hands, but he lives in the power of an endless life. The power of Christ in resurrection. It was there in the ark, and then it contained a third thing, the tables of the law. We speak of the perfection of Christ. And our blessed Lord is the one who could say, "Thy law is within my heart." As to its content, it speaks of the person of Christ. But more than that, as to its cherubim, which shadowed the mercy seat, which were there on each end of the mercy seat, the first time you read of the cherubim in Scripture, or when Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden because of sin, and God placed cherubim at the entrance to the Garden of Eden to keep the way to the tree of life. And as these cherubim represent the way to the tree of life, and Christ is the tree of life. He is the only one to whom men can be saved. And then finally, it speaks of Christ as to its carrying or its conveyance. How did the Ark of God get from one place to another? God gave instructions, it must be carried. It was carried upon the shoulders of the priests. They carried it, for in the ark were rings, golden rings, through which were put staves of shittim wood that were overlaid with gold. And through that, the ark was to be carried. What is the teaching? The teaching is, we should feel the weight of that which we carry. Do we feel the presence of the Spirit of God? What know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God, and you are not your own? The Ark. Well, why wasn't the Ark of God in Jerusalem? Why did David have to bring up the Ark of God? You see, it's possible for people to have little respect for God. And I believe we're living in an age when little respect for God is shown by those in high places. When we think of government leaders, God is not in their thoughts. That's what you read about in the 50th Psalm. God is not in their thoughts. But the people of God, Israel, treated the Ark of God like a rabbit's foot in 1 Samuel chapter 4. Israel was fighting with the Philistines, and the Philistines were being victorious. So they said, let us go and get the Ark of God and carry it. Maybe the Ark will save us. They treated the Ark of God like a rabbit's foot, like a piece of charm. Or a talisman, or something like that. And God permitted the Philistines to capture the Ark of God. And the Ark of God was out of the tabernacle, out of the tent of meeting, for over 40 years. King Saul reigned 40 years, and it left. It was captured by the Philistines before King Saul came to the throne. And it was only after David came to the throne that he wanted to bring back the Ark of God. David's concern as a boy was for the Ark of God. He was concerned for the Ark when he was a child. How do I know? The 132nd Psalm tells me so. Psalm 132 speaks of the blessing of God, blessings provided in Psalm 132. And it begins with the words, Lord, remember David and all his affliction. How he vowed unto the God, saying, I will not give sleep to mine eyes, nor slumber to mine eyelids, until we bring up the Ark of God. He had a care for the Ark of God, and it is written there, oh, we heard it at Ephrathah. We heard it in the field of the wood. Now that expression, the fields of the wood, was a name for another place, a place where the Ark of God was dwelling. It was dwelling where? At a place called Kiriath Jearim. That's where it was dwelling. And Kiriath Jearim is another word for the field of the wood. And David, as a lad, as he was tending sheep, his interests were in the Ark of God. What was the Ark of God? The Ark of God was the God's presence among his people. When God said, make a sanctuary that I may dwell among you, it was precious things. Every piece of furniture was overlaid with gold, except the altar of burnt offering that was overlaid with copper, bronze. The Ark of God. $1 million house without a chair, except the mercy seat. For God dwelt on the mercy seat. And he proved that when the Ark of God was captured by the Philistines and was set in the house of Dagon. And the next morning, poor old Dagon there, the fish god, was falling on his face. Well, to set him up again. How would you like to worship a god you can set on a shelf? And the next day, the next morning they went in, and poor old Dagon, he was smashed to smithereens. He was just lying on the floor, all broken to pieces. But you see, the Philistines said, oh, we can't have the Ark of God among us. And they sent the Ark back to Israel. And it never was brought to the tent of meeting. It went to a number of places. And finally, in the house of Abinadab. And it was from them that David brought up the ark. But David made a mistake. He tried to put the ark of God on a cart. Well, the Philistines did. Why can't we do what the Philistines do? See, the lesson is, God may permit some people to do things, but David should have known better. The Ark of God was to be carried. God, no matter who said put it on a cart, the Ark of God was to be carried. Who said so? God did. Doesn't matter what somebody else said, for David had a lot of people with him. When you read the first verse of chapter 6, you see there were 30,000 with him to bring up the Ark of God to Jerusalem. But you see, God said the Ark of God must be carried. And what happened? The oxen shook the cart. And Uzzah tried to hold up the Ark of God. God doesn't need to help a man, friends. And God killed Uzzah. And David is very displeased with what God did. Very displeased. So David, he didn't bring the Ark of God to Jerusalem. He just set it aside in the house of Obed-Edom. And that brings us to our verse this morning. And to the blessing of the Lord. Oh, the rich blessing in the house of Obed-Edom. For we read in verse 11, and the Ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And now from that 12th verse, very quickly, we want to try to unpack it, thinking of our Thanksgiving season and thinking of the blessing of the Lord. Number one, the riches of God's blessing are very real and evident. The Ark of God is only in the house of Obed-Edom 3 months. But we read in that 12th verse, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the Ark of God. The riches of the blessing of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 28 very vividly speaks to Israel, the people of God, and he says, all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. All these blessings. And the Lord thy God that the ark symbolized was dwelling in the house of Obed-Edom. What would you expect? You would expect the rich blessing of the Lord. See, God's governmental ways are the same in every dispensation. The blessing of the Lord we read in Proverbs 20. Or Proverbs 10 and verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And in the 84th Psalm, he says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. What a blessing it was to Obed-Edom and his household to make room for the Ark of God. We sing occasionally that hymn, have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin. Oh, Obed-Edom and his house, they made room for the ark, and the rich blessing of the Lord attended their household. But there's a second thing we learn, and that is this. The reality of God's blessing causes others to take notice thereof. the rich blessing of the Lord. I get it from those words, and it was told King David's saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom because of the ark. You see, they talked about it to others. This was the same thing that happened to others in Scripture. Remember Isaac in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 28, when he dwelt in Gerar, Abimelech made the statement, the king of Gerar, he said, we saw certainly that the Lord is with thee. You know, the blessing of the Lord is a very evident thing. It's a real thing. It's not something that we just sing about. It's reality. It was so with Obed-Edom. What about Joseph? When Joseph was in Egypt, Genesis 39 verse 3, we read, the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. You see, the reality of God's blessing, it causes others to take notice of it. You cannot be blessed of God and others not see it. There's a third thing here in this passage, and it is this. The reason for the blessing of God is traced from the effect to the cause. You see, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark, and people are not ignorant of the cause. The effect was the Lord has blessed because of the ark. That was the effect. But the cause was, it was the ark that caused the effect. Oh, what a rich thing this is. You see, it was so in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, here were the disciples. They had cured the crippled man at the beautiful gate in Acts chapter 3. Peter preached that great sermon in Acts chapter 3. And then in Acts chapter 4, when they had to give an account to the Sanhedrin, the scripture says, by what power do you do these things? And when you look at it, it certainly wasn't financial power. For Peter had to say, silver and gold have I none. It certainly wasn't intellectual power. For they took notice that they had been ignorant. They were just ignorant men. They were just ordinary fishermen. It certainly wasn't political power. For it was the politicians who had brought them in. But what was it? It was the power of God. They took notice that they had been with Jesus. Ah, friends, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. You know, a number of years ago, I came up with the idea, I was going to write a book called Shortcuts to Bible Study. Shortcuts to Bible Study. You know, it could have been thin, or thick, but all the pages would have been blank. Because there are no shortcuts to Bible study. As A.P. Gibbs put it, you see, you have to apply the seat of the trousers to the seat of the chair and maintain that point of contact until the subject is met. Bible study. You have to apply the seat of the trousers to the seat of the chair and maintain that point of contact. There are no shortcuts. Now, I have two programs, Bible programs on the computer. Preachers often say, boy, that really helps you. I bet that helps you a lot. You know, I rarely use them. I use them occasionally, but not often. You know why? I still like the old-fashioned method. I still like the old-fashioned method of meditating. If I'm involved in what that computer's doing and getting it quickly, it'll pass as quickly as I got it. But if I can meditate as I move along slowly, I'm blessed in my own soul. And I've learned over the years that I can't be a blessing to anybody else unless I am, first of all, blessed myself with what God has given me in the Word. That's so important. But it amazes me that men can trace the effect. They saw the blessing, and they could trace it to the cause. The cause was the Ark of God. But now notice, they went and told it to David. You see, it says here, there's a recognition of God's blessing. They didn't keep it to themselves. They told David, well, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him. You see, people talk about God's blessing of a man. There's a lesson there for me. Here's something I can plead to God in prayer. If you bless me, Lord, others are going to see it, and it will draw attention to you. For the blessing is because of the ark. You see, the Word of God tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. And if I'm content with a place where God has placed me, and I can plead with God that His blessing might be manifest. And when are His blessings manifest? They're manifest through obedience. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you, God says in Deuteronomy 28, if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. See, David didn't hearken to the voice of the Lord. And God smote Uzzah. He didn't hearken. But when he saw the blessing of the Lord upon the house of Obed-Edom, what did he do? Well, that brings me to my last point. Oh, the result of the blessing. David perceived God's frown when he smote Uzzah. But now he sees his smile. And what's the result? David went and he brought up the Ark of God to Jerusalem with gladness of heart. And as he brought it in, he danced before the Lord. He was so happy about God coming back to Jerusalem and to dwell in their midst. There's a lesson here. The Ark was not a burdensome object. You know, a lot of times, people get the idea, you live for God, you're going to have a dull life. I tell you, Jim and Fran Lyons are two of the finest people that we've ever had in our home. Really. It was a delight to have them a few days. A dull life? I never heard so many jokes in my life. Good jokes. We laughed more than you can ever imagine. That, well, having the ark, and I listened to his tapes from last Sunday. I tell you, my soul was blessed when I listened to him on his message on commitment last Sunday morning. 2 Corinthians 5:14, along with the Great Commission. You see, being in a country like Italy where the work is hard, to produce such joy in the life of people. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And the ark of God to David was not a burdensome thing. It was at first. Because he was walking in disobedience. But when he got back into fellowship with God, and he saw the blessing of the Lord on the house of Obed-Edom, oh, he who provided a home for the ark was blessed by God. That brings me to the application this morning. Application number one. And it's very simple. God is no man's debtor. God is no man's debtor. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in this age is like having the Ark of God in your home. In fact, it's one thing better. He's with you wherever you go. The Holy Spirit is indwelling me. No matter where I am, realizing that gives you a desire to live a holy life, to please Him. God is no man's debtor. And you know, He lives and He indwells every believer. Every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. you're not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you're none of His. So says Romans 8, verse 9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. We may know a lot of things. We may even have a lot of the Bible memorized. But if the Spirit of God is not indwelling us, we are none of His. But you see, the Spirit of God indwelling us is not burdensome. It is a rich blessing. Beloved, let us enjoy the blessing of the Lord and never forget it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It addeth no sorrow. The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark. When I met Mr. McNeil for the first time, when he stayed in our home in Lebanon, he used an expression time and again. Oh, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom. That was an expression that he used continuously, and I had to cause me to dwell on this passage a bit. And he told me where he got it. He stayed with a farming family in Scotland while he was having meetings. And while he was there with his farming family, there some of the cows gave forth their young. And he come in and said, oh, the Lord gave me a heifer this morning. The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom, and he has blessed me too. And he was so filled with joy, this farmer, over the blessing of the Lord. And he used this verse. And you know, you and I can use it in our everyday lives as we give thanks unto him who is worthy of our praise. God has blessed us. If we were to take time to review the blessings of the Lord in our lives, God is no man's death. You know, one of the things about us that is given to us in the Word of God, to a large extent, we're not a thankful people. Remember the story of our Lord of the 10 lepers in the Gospel by Luke? There's only one who returned to give thanks. One out of 10. Our Lord said, where are the other 9? A thankful people, we have every reason to give thanks. The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark. We who are saved have the ark within. We sing, Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. Let's pray. Father, in the precious name of thy dear Son, we bow to give thee thanks. We thank you for this passage. We thank you for the difference it made in the life of David, how he brought up the Ark of God to Jerusalem with gladness. And then he received what we read in the second part of the 132nd Psalm. And we see that the 132nd Psalm, the last half of it, deals with what came to David in 2 Samuel 7, that great covenant of kingship. Gracious God, thou art no man's debtor. Thou hast saved us by thy grace, and we pray that thanksgiving to thee may be the continual occupation of our lives, no matter where we are, no matter what circumstances we're in, for thou art indeed the God of all grace. Take this word now and bless it to every heart, and we commend this company to thee, and to thy grace, which makes us rich and adds no sorrow. For Jesus' sake, amen.